I first met Sheriff Brad Rogers in 2012. I was running for a U.S. congressional seat in Indiana's 2nd District, and I traveled down to IUPUI in support of the Libertarian Party presidential candidate Gary Johnson, who had also endorsed my congressional run, as he gave a speech there before a crowded room. And one of the people in that crowded room was Sheriff Brad Rogers, who is the Elkhart County Sheriff. Sheriff Rogers, when you were in that room and we first kind of introduced ourselves to one another, you said we should do lunch together sometime, and here we are doing lunch together just a few months later. And it's my absolute pleasure to be interviewing you for We Are Libertarians as we continue to discuss politics through the libertarian lens. Now, Sheriff Rogers, tell us a little bit more about your background. When did you become sheriff, and what did you do prior?
Well, Joe, good to be here with you and on the show today. And that was an excellent time down there with Gary Johnson. And I can tell you that, I am a Republican. I ran as a Republican. I'm a Republican sheriff. But I'm really the sheriff for everybody. It doesn't, now that the campaign's over, it's about being a sheriff for everybody. And so that's part of my philosophy as sheriff, that, it's not just about politics. It's about doing what's right. And what's right is really goes back to your question of kind of how I developed, how I came out. Well, I was at the Sheriff's Department since 1987, started out as a patrolman and was on patrol, and eventually worked my way up through the ranks as a corporal and lieutenant, and then ultimately the captain of the jail division. And that's when, about 25 years later, that's when I ran for sheriff. And was successful in the primary and also in the general election. And I think that my evolution of liberty-minded and of being a constitutionalist has transformed over the years. I didn't always think this way, just because I was naive. And so as I see things, I often say that as I saw things like Waco, the Waco Davidian branch compound being destroyed by the feds, about the Ruby Ridge incident with Randy Weaver and how that was handled badly by the feds, and then Hurricane Katrina most recently, and how the feds went in and told local law enforcement, local military, to go around and have people evacuate and seize their firearms at that time. I am just, all that transformed me into understanding that the federal government is running roughshod out of control on the Constitution, and it really behooves us at a local level to take the bull by the horns, if you will, and to uphold the Constitution, to make sure that people know what the oath of office is. And many people don't understand that. The oath of office is, I'm going to uphold the United States and Indiana Constitution, so help me God. And, there may be variations of that, but that's what it is. It doesn't say write speeding tickets. It doesn't say arrest bad guys or keep a jail. All that's defined in statute, and that's fine. But the oath of office says to uphold the Constitution. And so that's been my philosophy. And as sheriff and coming into this office and seeing the magnitude of federal usurpations, this is something that I believe in.
Now, you recently took part in a discussion regarding gun control on CNN with Anderson Cooper. Tell us how that opportunity came about.
Well, just out of the blue, it was on a Wednesday before the show, and it was the day before, and they called me and said that they were from CNN, and they'd got my name from Sheriff Palmer out in Oregon. They called him first, and Sheriff Palmer's a friend of mine. I'm familiar with him. He is a constitutional sheriff. And we're both on the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and their website is cspoa.org. But anyhow, they met him and talked, and they wanted to get him on the show, but because he was in Oregon, they were in Washington, D.C., logistically, it just didn't work out. So he said, how about my friend in Indiana? Call him and see if he's available. So they called me. I agreed to be on the show. And obviously, they wanted a conservative, liberty-minded approach to it. And I was cognizant that that I was probably walking into a lion's den on the Anderson Cooper show. But I can tell you that it was a good experience. It was certainly not something that I was surprised about. But I'll tell you, Anderson was very professional in the sense that he was courteous. He was never once was I degraded at either before or after the show, or really mistreated, or maybe even had a fear for my safety. Because incidentally, I couldn't take my gun because Washington, D.C. and flying to Washington. But it's one of those things that it was very rewarding. I thought I was going to be on the panel, and they put me in the audience. And, of course, he asked me the question direct about, so Sheriff Rogers, something to the effect that you don't believe that the federal government should be involved in gun control. And I said, absolutely not. Article 1, Section 8 says what the federal government is supposed to be doing. And gun control is not one of those. And it's really a states' rights issue. It's a 10th Amendment and Second Amendment issue. And really, the federal government should keep their nose out of it. It really, if a states want to limit certain things or prescribe some type of gun laws, then they certainly have a right to do that, assuming that their constitution allows it. Their individual state constitution. In Indiana, incidentally, the Constitution in Indiana says, Article 1, Section 32, that the people shall have a right to arms for defense of themselves and the state. So it's pretty clear, what do we define as arms? Well, that's probably up to the state to decide, but it's not up to the federal government to decide.
During that program, you went forward, and like you said, you explained your view on gun rights, the perspective from the U.S. Constitution and the Indiana State Constitution. And when you finished, their legal analysts regarded your statements as factually inaccurate. He then stated that the federal government is supreme over the states. How did you feel about those comments?
Well, first of all, I wasn't surprised that CNN's legal analysts would say such a thing. Because that's the party line of the Supremacy Clause, that the federal government is supreme in all things, regardless of state and local laws. But we who are liberty-minded and know the Constitution knows that's inaccurate. In fact, it's been proven in court a number of times that that's not the case, that the federal government is not supreme, except when the laws are pursuant to the Constitution. Well, the gun control issue, anything they go after there is going to be unconstitutional, so they're not supreme in that. I had one chambered. I had one ready to go, a comment loaded and for bear, but they cut me off and wouldn't let me talk further about that, which, you think of that's a little bit unfair, but again, it wasn't my show, and I knew that could be that possibility, but I can also know that the people of Elkhart County and the people of Indiana know that Sheriff Brad Rogers takes a stand on this, and that's my whole point, is that we need leaders in elected spots that will uphold their oath of office, that will uphold the Constitution, and go against the tide in societal trends to induce us otherwise. And it's, I'm no hero, I'm doing my job, but I think it takes leadership to take a stand for those things.
Did the experience have any effect on your opinion of the mainstream media? It sounds like you weren't too surprised.
No, I didn't, I wasn't as surprised at all. In fact, my opinion of the mainstream media hasn't changed. They're extremely liberal and they have their own agenda, and, I get all that, but again, I suppose I had a little apprehension going on CNN just because of that knowledge. But I think, again, they paid for my way. I didn't pay. None of the money came out of tax dollars. It was all paid by CNN from my front door back to my front door that day. So it was a good experience. And I think that if I had it to do over, I would probably say, well, allow me one rebuttal comment.
Now, aside from your recent advocacy for our Second Amendment, this isn't the first time you've made waves in the political arena. Tell us about your standoff with the Food and Drug Administration in 2011.
Well, it was December 1st, 2011, and that's when an Amish farmer in Elkhart County, where I'm sheriff, contacted me and said, I'm having trouble with the federal government. Could you come talk to me about it? I said, sure, absolutely. So I went, made an appointment, sat down at his kitchen table, and he shared with me about how he was being inspected by FDA agents and that how he was being subpoenaed by the Department of Justice to appear in a grand jury in Michigan. And I said, well, you know, you're really going to have to figure that one out yourself. I can't really tell you to ignore the grand jury subpoena or anything like that. That's something that you need to decide on your own. But I said, if you're willing to open up a hornet's nest, we can certainly deal with this, the inspectors coming on your property without permission. You know, it's one thing, Joe, if a farmer through some agreements or some, I don't know, maybe even a law that says, you know, we need to have inspections. Okay, and they say, okay, I give my consent to have that inspection. That's one thing, because they're given consent. But in this case, they kept coming back, and they knew this guy was distributing raw milk through Michigan and Illinois, and it was all to food co-ops, people who would buy into these co-ops and knew they were getting raw milk. And there was no evidence to suggest that anybody was getting sick from this milk. And, you know, I'm for a safe, we just got done eating. I'm for a safe food supply. I'm not saying that health departments are a bad thing or even everything the FDA does is a bad thing. However, I'm from the government, and I have to abide by the Fourth Amendment. The FDA is from the government. They need to abide by the Fourth Amendment. Now, the Fourth Amendment says unreasonable searches and seizures. It doesn't say all searches and seizures, just unreasonable ones. Well, maybe one inspection wouldn't have been unreasonable, but what they kept doing is coming back and coming back, sometimes as little as a week or two apart, having multiple inspections. Each time he passes it with flying colors, and essentially nobody's getting sick. It's just harassment, in my view. And there was no physical confrontation. It was strictly through email and letters. I sent off a letter to the Department of Justice, because that's who I had a contact at the time, and I just said, we're not going to put up with this anymore. If you're going to come back and do the inspections, you need to have a warrant based on probable cause. And if you don't, you'll either be removed from the premises or you'll be arrested for trespassing. And since December 8th till now, so it's a little over a year now, the FDA inspectors have not been back to his farm.
Excellent. So you said that you ran as a Republican, you consider yourself a Republican, but more so a constitutionalist, and that you have certain leanings, but you feel like it's all about the oath of office that you take and the oath that you take to the Constitution. If you're not a libertarian, you certainly seem to maintain libertarian support and also hold libertarian stances for the way that you conduct yourself. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, I would say that if a person, regardless of what party you are, and I think if the Republicans were true to what their original goals and their and the scope of what they're trying to accomplish, i.e., less government, less taxes, less government involvement, more freedoms, blah blah blah. You know, if they were really true to their word on that, then they would, in a sense, be libertarians in the sense that, you know, they would have liberties that would be protect liberties. I'm not so sure I agree with everything libertarians in general stand for, but I don't agree with everything Republicans stand for either. So, you know, so it's just one of those things that I had to pick something and run with it. And traditionally, my family's been Republican, and I think that's kind of where it stemmed from. But I'll tell you what, through that evolution of growing in that constitutional stance, I believe that no matter what party you are, you can stand for the Constitution, you can do the right thing for the community, you can uphold your oath of office, and you can keep government in check. And you know, that's some of the fundamental differences. You know, you got some that just think spend, and raise taxes and more government, and it's, you know, that just doesn't cut it with me.
Mm-hmm. In a nation where it seems like so many of our elected officials, they kind of give up on the Constitution, and they they begin to politic. And so many of them feel compelled to not uphold their oath or take them seriously. Why do you persist?
Well, why did our founding fathers persist? You know, they signed the Declaration of Independence. That was essentially signing their death warrants. And today, we don't know what oaths are. I mean, we don't teach about it. And most public officials probably have no clue what oaths mean. I mean, look at our marriages. We take an oath before God to stay with this person till death do us part, and yet look at our divorce rate. And then you have an oath of office, and we swear to uphold the Constitution, and yet many turn around and just fight against what they just swore to uphold, and so it doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. Well, to me, it's not meaningless, and I've done everything I can to incorporate that into the sheriff's department, that as we bring on new officers, we call it the oath of office. Most officers call it in swearing in. You know, the concept is that we go get sworn in so we have arrest authority. Well, yeah, that is accurate, but it's more than that. It's deeper than that. And those ceremonies need to be done with pomp and circumstance, I believe. And so it's a very important thing. And our founding fathers would have died for that oath. We don't know what that means today. And so when I look at my kids and I look at your kids and kids that are our future and the liberties that we have and that maybe we've even lost and where this country is going, I have to try to set the example, be the leader that hopefully will help continue lighting the fire of personal liberties and constitutional government as we go on, because if not, I fear sometimes for our republic that we have maybe gone too far. I don't know that we have, but I fear sometimes we have. And you know, if I don't at least literally die trying, then what use have I done? What example have I set to my kids? What example have I set to future sheriffs? And maybe with what I do here, it'll allow other sheriffs to be brave and to take a stand for what's right and do the right thing according to their oath.
Well, Sheriff Rogers, we certainly thank you for taking time to speak with We Are Libertarians today. I believe that you are a good and honorable official, one of the few, and we're glad that you're out there helping us change hearts and minds.
Well, thanks, Joe. Good to be on the show today, and if you ever need me back, just say so. We'll be glad to come back.
Excellent. Thank you.